This is Your Wetlands. I'm Jerry Kay, and this is another report in our ongoing series about Flood Control 2.0.
Flood Control 2.0 is a program that was put together by the San Francisco Estuary Institute, the San Francisco Estuary Project, the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, and the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission.
Brenda Gayden is the Sediment Program Manager with the Bay Conservation and Development Commission.
It's an effort to try to redesign or reconsider flood control in the Bay Area in a way that takes advantage of ecosystem services, how rivers and creeks can be valued for habitat and the critters that live there, the recreational opportunities, the open space for the communities, still getting flood waters out of the creeks during high flood season, but also taking advantage of the sediment that's coming into San Francisco Bay from these flood channels.
Brenda tells me that in many cases, Bay Area creeks are now concrete-lined channels, which some would argue is an efficient way of transporting a lot of water away from homes and communities. But here's the catch. Sediment coming down from the watershed into these channels can fill them up, slowing down this flow of water.
And so a lot of the flood protection agencies around the Bay Area literally dredge out their channels during certain times of the year to maintain flood capacity in the channel and get the water to move as quickly as it can out of the creeks and rivers into the bay.
And in many cases, that sediment is being removed from the bay, which may not be a sensible long-term solution for flood control or the health of our environment. So this question was raised among the people charged with controlling floods. They got together about 4 years ago to work on new ideas for preventing and controlling floods around the bay because they all agreed that they wanted to improve their flood protection systems.
And so in the course of the 4 years, we have looked at San Francisco Creek for the flood protection changes that they're making down there and their habitat improvements. Novato Creek, Marin County folks are in a process of redesigning their flood protection system, and we stepped in and worked with them to vision an even larger watershed-based program. And so there's a document that's out called Novato Creek Vision, which lays out a 50-year how might you do flood protection and habitat protection differently, perhaps better for that region. And right now we're working with Walnut Creek up in Contra Costa County, where they're also looking at Lower Walnut Creek and trying to figure out how they might redo their stream flows there.
And we'll have reports about each of the projects Brenda mentioned, but on this report, we're focusing on what has been learned during the 4 years as agencies have been reimagining flood control around the bay.
We've learned a lot of different things. One of the most surprising things that I guess I hadn't thought about when I went into the whole process was woody debris and trees being an interesting issue. I keep coming back to this one because I think it was the most surprising to me. Trees are important for shading to keep the water cool, but they also shed limbs and things. And when they do that, you have a constriction in a water channel, but at the same time, it's habitat for fish. And it also provides benefits for the community where they like to have shaded areas to walk and appreciate their creek. So interesting, just on a very basic level of having a natural system that creates a constriction which can cause flooding, but people like it. And it's not that the flood protection managers wouldn't want to have trees, but they have to be very concerned about what the trees do. So that was kind of a very early, like, wow, I never thought about trees in that way. But we need to think about trees along our creeks for lots of different reasons.
Another lesson learned has to do with the process of getting governmental permits. This is a long answer, but it's filled with context, perspective, and nuance, whether we're directly involved in flood protection or citizens who may have to pay for flood control.
People primarily say it's too slow. They feel like they have conflicting requirements from different agencies. Agencies are sometimes not on the same page. The laws and policies don't treat developers, nonprofits, for-profits, government agencies differently. They're really about environmental impacts. So Clean Water Act, Environmental Protection Act, McAdear-Petrus Act, Port of Cologne Act, all of these acts were put in place in the 60s and 70s because we had pollution problems, we had development in the general sense, flood protection, cities, whatever it was that was changing the environment, there were impacts that needed to be addressed. And so these laws and policies were developed to address impacts, and that's still what they address today. Yes, there's sea level rise. Yes, we still need to have flood protection, but the policies themselves are blind to what the activity is. They're focused pretty intently on reducing impacts. And if you look at almost any agency, you'll see the same pattern, which is avoid impacts, minimize impacts, and mitigate for impacts. We all follow that pattern. And in many cases, when there's concern but not knowledge about a potential impact, we err on the side of caution. We really need to recognize as a community that's what the laws and policies are for. And when you get down to that core, I think pretty much everybody would agree we want to reduce impacts and we want to improve environment, whether it be water quality, the food we eat, whatever it is. And so taking a step back, that's kind of the basis of them. And I don't think we think so much about the basis of them anymore. What we think about is it takes me a long time to get a permit. I have to put this work together. Permit agencies may not realize that flood protection agency has maybe been working on a project, developing the design for the project for 5 or 10 years. And they're finally to the point of getting their permits, and it's still taking them another year, and they have a construction schedule they need to get to. So they have a sense of urgency. They have a sense of urgency just to finish their project, but also because it's flood protection, right? So it's an emergency management system. The people who are in this group, the flood protection group, are really focused on protecting life and property. And furthermore, if you're in a flood zone and you don't have flood protection, then you have a really hard time getting flood insurance. So it impacts the citizens of their community when their flood protection isn't up to snuff.
Another area being explored is developing a more efficient permit application, which focuses specifically on flood control.
Because right now we have two types of applications. We have ones that are agency specific, and then there's one that's called the JARPA. It's the Joint Aquatic Project Regulatory Agency application or something along those lines. And so it was a conglomeration of all applications for all projects, any kind of project that might affect an aquatic environment. And it's great as far as having all the questions in it. But again, a flood protection agency might not need to answer all those questions. And if we looked at our applications and streamlined them a little bit, or tailored them really is probably the better term, to the type of project that these folks are applying for, we can still get the questions that we need answered, but maybe put it in a language that's better understood, more clear, and take away some of the extraneous questions that really wouldn't apply to those types of projects. So those are some things that we're thinking about.
Another idea being discussed is to provide training for flood control and regulatory staff so they each could better understand the challenges and needs these very different agencies have.
I think as a regulator, it'd be helpful for me to learn from the flood protection community what are the concerns, what are the parameters, because we don't get that in school. We don't even get that on the job necessarily. And I think for the same purpose, it would be good for the flood protection agencies to hear from the regulatory groups what kind of information we are looking for and why.
And here's another takeaway from my conversation with Brenda regarding lessons learned from Flood Control 2.0. Instead of being concerned with how long it takes to get things done, the emphasis should be on working together, collaboratively, to improve our streams and creeks and flood protection.
We're at a time right now in the flood protection world where the infrastructure is 50, 60, 70 years old. It needs to be repaired and replaced, which is an opportunity and a challenge, right? Because funding that is difficult and expensive and time-consuming. But at the same time, if you're going to go in and do maintenance work on a significant portion of your program, why not do capital improvements? Again, I know funding, time, regulatory constraints are all there, but why not really rethink now at this period in time how we can improve our watersheds for the Bay?
I'd like to thank Brenda Gayden for her insight. We have more information for you on Flood Control 2.0, so let me suggest you visit yourwetlands.org and click on the Flood Control 2.0 link. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Kaye.